This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Future Farm Botanicals Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex, a natural solution to chronic pain. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposomes and nanotechnology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. Sourced and manufactured in the United States, this product contains 1,600 milligrams of curcumin and powerful antioxidant properties. This plant-based curcumin is used to possibly reduce inflammation, block proteins that trigger swelling, and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, and we're continuing with questions. Questions come to us via radio program at AOL.com. We need some more questions, right? I mean, we have enough for this week.
Yeah,
but,
you know, we do, yeah.
We encourage you to send your questions to
radioprogram@AOL.com. We welcome them.
Because that is the grist for the mill for this segment.
Yeah. We have an email from William. Hello, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. I recently found out I have a thyroid nodule on my left lower lobe. On my lower left lobe, pardon me. I found this out.
Just for anatomical description, the thyroid has got two lobes. You know, one is on the left and one is on the right. And then there's in between them, connecting them, is something called the isthmus.
You don't pronounce that TH,
The isthmus. Just like the Isthmus of Panama, which connects North America to South America.
Yeah.
You know, via Central America. So this isthmus is a narrow band of tissue that connects the two lobes of your thyroid. And when you're going to have surgery for your thyroid, you might have a total thyroidectomy and take both lobes out. Or you might have a hemithyroidectomy where they take out one lobe. And sometimes they just take out, you know, a piece of that is suspicious.
Yeah. So William found out about this nodule after a CT scan after a fall off a ledge.
So it was found coincidentally.
Yes.
They weren't looking for it. Yep.
Okay. So the CT scan showed a 3-centimeter nodule, and after a consult with an endocrinologist.
That's a little big. That's a little big. I just talked to a woman this morning who has a 4-centimeter nodule. I talked to her doctor, her other doctor, and she said, you know, this woman who's very holistic, she never had an operation in her life, we're suggesting that she go to a head and neck surgeon because we found they put in a fine needle. The needle aspiration showed some malignant tissue. There's possibly a follicular carcinoma of the thyroid there. And so, but this woman said, I will absolutely not go to the head and neck surgeon until I've talked to my Dr. Hoffman, because I trust his judgment. If he says I need to go, I will go. So I reinforced that decision, because I think it's prudent that she get that checked out.
Okay. All right. The blood work was good, but a bit low on vitamin D. There is a calcification around the 2.5-centimeter identified nodule via ultrasound. My questions are, is there anything I should do before a fine needle aspiration?
Nothing.
Is there any non-invasive
procedure? You can't screw it up. I mean, you can screw it up. If you're on a blood thinner, maybe you have to stop.
Right.
Or if you're taking aspirin, don't take aspirin that day.
That are thinning your blood. Don't take massive amounts of fish oil nine a day.
I don't even think that's
nobody's
a consideration.
Nobody's taking nine a day.
You know, it's not about supplements. Yeah. The supplements won't protect you, you know, during that.
Right. And the second thing is, if it comes back benign, is there a natural way to shrink the nodule?
Not that I know of.
Yeah.
I mean, the only type of nodule that does shrink sometimes is in iodine deficiency, where you give iodine.
Yeah.
The other situation is if you're hypothyroid, we have shrunk down the nodules when we give thyroid medication.
Okay.
But some people don't need thyroid medication. I mean, actually, what used to be done routinely is they would give people who have nodules thyroid medication, even if they were normal thyroid, to shrink the nodules.
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore because they thought, you know, unnecessary thyroid might be dangerous for those people.
So vitamin D, iodine, and selenium are very important in thyroid health.
Okay.
And there's
They're important for thyroid health, but it's unclear whether they're going to make nodules shrink
true,
or go away.
True. So make sure that there are no deficiencies there.
Right.
But also, in the case of like Hashimoto's, there have been some anecdotes where they're able to shrink some nodules based on the thyroid antibodies going down.
Yeah. If you're able to get a multinodular thyroid.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of a cobblestone appearance. And it's all sort of inflamed due to autoimmunity.
Yes. That kind of a thing. So if it's autoimmune, there may be a possibility.
Autoimmune paleo diet,
removal of gluten
D,
and dairy.
You know, various things that are helpful for autoimmune.
Right.
You know, I read a study recently, and we should pursue this. I don't know whether I sent it to you, because sometimes I send you interesting tidbits. Even on the weekend when I'm at home, so I hope you don't mind.
No, not at all. Yeah,
but this one was on some research on the low methionine diet for autoimmunity.
Yes,
and that's been
MS.
That's been around since about 2015, and there was recently a study looking at that and also lupus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what are foods high in methionine? Eggs.
Oh sure, all kinds of animal
sulfur-containing.
Protein. Yeah. And in all kinds of plant foods, too.
Some plant foods.
So it's there.
Yeah.
And I find the other conundrum is what opposes a high methionine may be a lower homocysteine, which is desirable. So what about when the homocysteine is high and there's a lower methionine, if that lower methionine is due to a high... You want homocysteine to cycle back to methionine.
Right.
That's the conundrum of... If a high methionine is feeding,
there used
some
to be what's
of autoimmunity.
Called one of the ways to determine if you had an impairment in your homocysteine metabolism was the methionine load test.
Yes,
you'd give a lot of methionine, like 5, 10, 15 grams of methionine, and see if that prompted a kind of a backup in your homocysteine production.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that kind of a thing, and exactly.
Yeah, so I don't know.
I wonder where that fits in.
It's being recommended for MS.
Mm-hmm.
I think the autoimmune paleo diet that's been so popularized by Dr. Walls is not necessarily low methionine.
No, not at all. And that particular study that you sent me is really singling out animal protein. You know there's a trend, there's an agenda to move away from all of that.
Yeah.
But there's enough methionine in other...
Do you think it's agenda-driven, that it's by...
I don't know.
Like a sort of a pro-vegan or vegetarian...
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot more of that on the listservs that I belong to.
Right.
About a plant-based diet, will this and change your life and save you and, you know, fix your taxes.
Game changer.
Game changer, whatever, kind of a thing.
You know about that movie.
Oh,
That propagandistic movie about... So I was at a... I was at a little family gathering and they said, have you seen Game Changer? And
it's an older movie.
It's been around for a couple of years,
but
it was, I think, very influential for like the YouTube crowd, you know, the millennials, and I think it's on Netflix too. Mm-hmm. And it's unchallenged because it's like it's out there and it suggests you've got to reduce your animal protein.
Right. There are other sources of methionine.
And one of the parents there very carefully took the skin off the chicken that he was giving to his son.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know.
And then we complain as we get older that lack of cartilage in our knees and lack of youth in our skin, and should have left that chicken skin on.
My grandfather, who was a Jew from Poland, his favorite thing was schmaltz.
Oh, schmaltz, yeah.
Which was chicken fat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, without schmaltz, like, life wouldn't be good without schmaltz.
And did he make it with onions?
Well, right. Mm-hmm. Schmaltz with onions, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there was, I guess, you know, he passed at 101.
right. I mean, think about that. So, oh my goodness. Well, William, just go have your fine needle aspiration. See about thyroid antibodies. See about the deficiencies.
I will say this.
Yeah.
It's
good that he found out he was low in vitamin D.
Yeah, I will say this.
So that's area improvement.
There has been a bit of a rethinking on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, at the slightest instigation, they would find like a few cancerous or precancerous cells, and boom, you get your thyroid taken out.
Yeah. That they're jumping the gun?
It was jumping the gun. And
overdiagnosis of thyroid cancer.
The poster girl for that was Kirchner, who was the president of Argentina, who at one point there was headlines, international headlines, like Argentine president diagnosed with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, Argentine president doesn't have cancer. After they removed her thyroid, they found, they sliced and diced it, you know, in the pathology lab, and they found that there was no cancer.
Oh, my.
So it was an example of overreach.
Exactly.
And then, you know, you lose your thyroid, okay. I mean, you can live without a thyroid. You take thyroid medication for the rest of your life, but it's not the same.
It's not the same.
It's hard times to get it right. Mm-hmm. So it's not inconsequential. It's not like, oh, you know, if in doubt, take it out. So they're becoming a little more conservative with that. There's also the notion that most thyroid cancer,
if confirmed, take it out.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a little like prostate cancer. It's like we're now recognizing that some men with early prostate cancer, we can do watchful waiting on that.
Yep. Yep.
And
not aggressive, something like that. You probably won't die from it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why I told the patient. I said, I'm hoping that your surgeon, I said, don't rush to have surgery. You know, you can talk to me about it, but you know, a good surgeon will say, look, this woman's 83, a small area of her thyroid has some aggressive cells.
Mm-hmm.
Is it worth it to do surgery? We want to do the least invasive thing in an 83-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Best of luck to you, William. Get your vitamin D levels up.
At this point, let's pause because we want to allow our sponsors an opportunity to share an important message with you. So here it goes. Listen up.
Do you suffer with chronic pain? Are you taking risky over-the-counter or prescription anti-inflammatory drugs? This is Dr. Ronald Hoppe with a better natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposomes and nanotechnology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. Sourced and manufactured in the United States, this product contains 1,600 milligrams of curcumin and powerful antioxidant properties. This plant-based curcumin is used to possibly reduce inflammation, block proteins that trigger swelling, and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Don't live with pain when there's an all-natural, science-based remedy that works. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make intelligent medicine a continuing free resource to you. And I'm sure you continue to enjoy that. So, back to our questions. What's next, Lila?
We have an email here asking, what kind of detergent does Dr. Hoffman use to clean his clothes? Because I'm having a lot of trouble finding one that works. And also for the nutritionist as well. I guess that's me. Any insight would help.
The concern is, for the environment, but also for us.
Sure.
And I think, you know, one of the problems is, you know, you got a house and it's the winter and it's poorly ventilated and you put all kinds of, you know, perfumey detergents in there with chemicals and things like that. And then you put in those, fabric softener things or pods and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they have those kind of chemicals. And so it exhausts. I mean, hopefully it exhausts outside, you know, that is the dryers do, but I don't even think that the most washing machines really exhaust to the outside.
I'm not Mr. Unless they were gas washers.
Well, you should know, you're building a house, right?
Right. It's an electric washing machine. You're basically getting the perfume and all that.
It all comes out in, you know.
Exactly. But a gas dryer typically is going to be vented.
So you want, you also don't want to carry chemicals on your clothes.
No.
But you also want to be conscientious towards the environment because it all pours out and drains out of the environment.
Exactly.
And then we get like, you know, foamy streams and foamy bays and, you know, eutrophication of our water sources and stuff like that. It's horrible.
Yeah.
So
I use Tide Free and Clear, free of perfumes and dyes. And
I think I use Tide Free.
There's no odor or scent to it at all.
I don't even look.
It's basically something like that.
I mean, when I go to buy the detergent, I have to, like, take a picture, you know, or Because, you know, that male thing, that panic, you know, you get in the supermarket aisle, there's like 50 brands, and like, I have performance anxiety in the supermarket.
I'm
going to screw this up. I'm going to screw it up.
Buy the wrong one.
It is something genetic, you know, about it's a primal fear of men to buy the wrong, you know. Anyway, right. So I think that's what I use. And I try to use the most benign dishwasher mm-hmm. detergent too. So
I think that's where a lot of complaints come into play, because you'll use the standard dishwashing detergent, which mm-hmm. is fine, and then you use the more environmentally friendly one, and you find that your dishes aren't getting as clean in that dishwasher, and now what? You know, it could be a lack of a rinse aid. It could be that
I use a rinse aid that I get from Thrive Market, and it is mm-hmm. a chemical, but it's a relatively benign chemical, and it makes a big difference, because all my silverware was coming out really looking horrible. Like, I mean, it's clean, but it looks awful.
Yeah, there could be water spots and all kinds of things. You need a finishing, thing like that. The other thing is,
You don't want to. For me, it's okay, but if there's a guest coming over, it's like, what's the matter? It's like when you go to the restaurant and you take your napkin and clean the utensils, you know.
Right. Right. The other thing, if this person says they're having a lot of trouble finding a good one, you also want to make sure that if you have very dirty clothing, you want to do a pre-soak, you want to do a pre-wash. Make sure to select that cycle. Wow, I can't believe I'm talking about laundry on this program, but you know, sometimes that's what you need to do. If you've got grass stains and oil and mud or blood or something like that, you want to be able to do a pre-soak, a pre-wash, and let the detergent have at it there before you get into the wash cycle. Using something free of perfumes, dyes, it's better for you. It will be better for the environment.
Environmental Working Group has some recommendations, EWG.org.
Yes. They've got recommendations on that. Also on cosmetics as well. SafeCosmetics.org is another good website. I think, Dr. Hoffman, I think you'll agree with me, the thing to be more wary of is dry cleaning chemicals.
Oh, yeah.
More than anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to, most people, I want to advise, move towards, more towards wash and wear clothing rather than a suit that's going to go to the dry cleaner.
But isn't wash and wear clothing like coated with all kinds of anti-wrinkle?
No, you know, not necessarily. No. You're going to take out your iron, you're going to iron things stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's not like the wool suit that you would have to send out to the cleaners, because you can't really throw that in the washer. You know,
so a recommendation is if you take in dry cleaning, you know, and you
take it to a natural dry cleaner or a better place.
That can be done. There's green.
Yeah, because that's carcinogenic.
Because it's also better for the workers too.
Yeah.
You know. But what I do is, I get the stuff and I keep it in like the garage or I keep it outside the house for a day or two so that the chemicals will gas off.
Yeah.
And similarly, I live in an apartment where there's like a delivery broom, you know, and I just
entrance.
They tell me, your laundry's back, you know, because I do have business suits and
shirts. Of course,
we
have to have dry cleaning.
And I have dry cleaning.
Of course we do. Yeah.
So I will do that, and then I'll say, okay, it's great. I'll pick it up tomorrow. You know, because I'll let it air out.
Yes.
For a day downstairs.
Yeah. Take the plastic off.
Right.
Right. Yeah. But there are enough places around. I mean, we're in New York City.
There's a lot of green.
A lot of green places like that now. So we don't have to worry as much.
I will say this, is that even conventional dry cleaners are using less toxic chemicals. And partly it's because, you know, for workman's comp and liability and, you know, the regulations that you know, the New York City regulations, that there's less smelly. The stuff is less odoriferous.
You would think that should kind of, you know, work its way into the food industry, where they would use less wheat that has been treated
with glyphosate,
you know, before you eat that bread or that pasta or that roll, that, you know, how's this going to affect me? Well, number one, you're choosing to eat it. You don't have to choose that product.
Well,
number one.
You know, what's also going to affect it is the $10 billion that Bayer, who bought Monsanto, is having to set aside.
They bought a can of worms, didn't they?
Big time. They
They bought a Pandora's box.
Better yet, they bought themselves a big headache.
Mm.
Bayer aspirin. Yeah. But anyway, so. The guy who's the mastermind of this is like, they're wanting to force him to step down. It was a $56 billion acquisition, and they're going to have to set aside a $10 billion fund to cover the claims. There's
so thousands of claims. 20% of that has to go towards their claims.
Right. I think Monsanto snookered Bayer because they had like a ticking time bomb that they did not disclose about all this potential liability.
Here, anyway. we'll sell you this house before they let you know that it's sitting on a toxic waste dump or something like that.
They were.
We'll sell you this property.
Do we have one more question?
We have a question from Marianne.
Okay.
I was wondering if you would discuss apple cider vinegar. I see a lot of YouTube videos about Bragg's apple cider vinegar with the mother in it, which claimed so many varied health benefits. It's hard to believe it can all be true. Do either of you prescribe it?
I use it on my salad.
Oh, yeah. I use it on my salad.
Salad with
in my coleslaw.
Olive oil.
It's great for coleslaw.
Oh, really?
If you're choosing a vinegar for coleslaw, it's apple cider vinegar.
Okay.
That's the one to go with. And I like Bragg.
It
has a mother. And that's the stuff, the mother probiotic. You want to see that cobwebby, hazy, opaque substance floating around in there. That's the good stuff. That's what you want. So that's the type to use.
Unless you're allergic to yeast.
Unless you're allergic to yeast, you shouldn't have any vinegar. But also note that apple cider vinegar is alkalinizing in the body, which is very interesting.
It's acid in the mouth, but alkalizing
exactly,
the body.
Exactly, okay. Exactly. Just like, you know, lemon juice, fresh lemon juice is citric acid, but it's alkalizing.
They say it cuts appetite. There's one study that I know by a doctor, Carol, I think Carol Johnson is her name. She's at the University of Arizona. Mm-hmm. She did a study showing that if you take a swig of apple cider vinegar before meals, it actually helps to stabilize your blood sugar.
Yes. Vinegar is helpful in stabilizing blood sugar. So starting your first course with a salad with some vinegar in it is a great way to go.
Oh, okay.
Especially if you're going to know.
And I do that instinctively.
It's just a great way to get your salad in, right? Especially if you know you're going to have a very carby meal or something like that. The other thing for apple cider vinegar.
And I try to stay away from prepared dressings because the prepared dressings are often.
They're going to have sugar.
And they're going to have soy oil.
They're
going
to have soy oil.
So I like to make my own dressing.
Exactly. I always make my own dressing. And the other thing with apple cider vinegar is.
Cheaper too.
It is. People use it often for constipation. They'll take a tablespoon or two and some water.
Okay.
And then take that. That could be helpful. You don't want to take more than a couple of tablespoons a day of any kind of vinegar, because long-term, it may mess a little with your potassium level, your bones. If you're overdoing vinegar, more is not better.
Okay.
You know, eat an apple a day, keep the doctor away.
Right.
Eat too many apples, you're going to get a stomachache.
Right.
Same thing goes with vinegar.
Okay.
So use it in your salad, use it in your cooking, and it's great. Baking sauerkraut with it.
Oh, yeah.
Or cooked cabbage, rather.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious.
Yeah, I use one dish that I've been making lately that's quite a hit is you now can get broccoli rice or cauliflower rice or sometimes a mix of those things at some of the stores. And I like that because I don't have to buy some fancy gadget to make it. You know, they make it for you with their powerful machines there.
Right, right.
And you got to make sure it's fresh. But then you get it, you take it and you can saute it, sometimes with a little onion, and you put in some dried cranberries or dried cherries, and you take some pecans and crumble them, and then you put a dash of red wine vinegar on it, and that gives it a piquant flavor. One ingredient that's important is cumin seeds, cumin flavor. Uh-huh. And that is such a good way to get your vegetables, and it's like a side dish that's a lower carb side dish, an alternative to rice.
It's cauliflower,
It's cauliflower rice or broccoli rice, and you're getting your cruciferous vegetables, and I can eat three servings of that. It's delicious. It makes you want to eat your boring vegetables.
Well, you know what? I love taking all those cruciferous vegetables, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, put them on a tray, roast them in the oven.
Okay.
They are delicious. Mm-hmm. They develop a beautiful sweetness.
They're caramelized.
I don't know anybody who doesn't like roasted vegetables prepared that way. They're just delicious.
You put a little olive oil on
them? Sure, a little olive oil, a little salt, pepper, a little rosemary maybe.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Toss all that around.
Yeah.
On your baking sheet.
Have you used any garlic on that? Because I like a garlicky.
Garlic is nice.
Sometimes a garlicky flavor on my Brussels sprouts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's delicious too.
Right. Mm-hmm. But you kind of cook them until they're a little brown on the outside and they get a little mushy.
Right. You can turn them over halfway.
Temperature is what, 400?
400. Some people do 425. Your oven temperature may vary.
Right.
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 And anywhere between, I would say, about 30 to 40 minutes for the most part.
Right.
Depending on how big your chunks of vegetables are, or if you're slicing the, typically you want to slice your Brussels sprouts in half.
Mm-hmm.
You want the cauliflower florets,
right,
the broccoli florets. It's also nice to roast string beans that way, to roast carrots that way. I mean, roasted vegetables are, I like to make a tray and I have it for 2 or 3 days. With lunches and dinners to eat, and it's just delicious.
Indoles are in the news lately. There's an article, let's see if I can find it.
Mm-hmm.
Indoles, let's see.
Indoles, which are found in cruciferous vegetables, particularly broccoli. Right?
Chemicals from gut bacteria maintain vitality in aging animals. That's from 2017. There's something new.
Mm-hmm.
Researchers were the worms, fruit flies, and mice exposed to indole, a compound produced by gut bacteria, remain free of age-related whatever. Indoles. Yeah. Indoles from, you know, and then there's, of course, indole 3-carbinol, I3C.
Right.
Which you can get as a supplement.
Mm-hmm. As well.
All right.
Okay. Thank you, Marianne, for that question.
Yeah, we kind of went off the ranch a little on that, but that prompted a good discussion. All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. We'll be back next week.
Yes. Thank you. And don't forget to email us your questions, radioprogram@AOL.com.
Radioprogram@AOL.com is the destination.
Thank you for joining us.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And this is our weekly Q&A with Layla, Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.